WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam makes it official. Even as new cases of COVID-19 have continued to climb, he says some restrictions will begin to be relaxed this Friday, except in Northern Virginia. Meanwhile, critics say that plan puts communities of color at risk. Also, how is the pandemic aggravating so-called stress injuries, and how can we address them? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 13. Governor Ralph Northam signed an executive order on Tuesday allowing five counties in Northern Virginia to delay reopening businesses. Those areas have the highest number of coronavirus cases in the state. In a live-streamed interview with the Washington Post, Northam said the change was requested by local leaders.
While they're trending in the right direction, their percent positivity is down over the last few days. They don't feel that they're ready to go into phase one, which we plan to do on Friday.
The order allows the counties to keep non-essential businesses closed until May 29th. Northam ordered some non-essential businesses closed 2 months ago, and his planned first phase of reopening for the rest of the state is set for this Friday. Phase one will retain severe restrictions. Some retail businesses will reopen with limited capacity, but indoor gyms would remain closed, beaches would remain closed to sunbathers, and restaurants would still be prohibited from indoor dine-in service. Well, Virginia plans to send $650 million in federal financial aid to local governments to pay the costs of responding to the pandemic. Governor Northam's office says the state's top priorities are to expand testing for the coronavirus and more public health staff to trace the personal contacts of those who test positive for COVID-19. The Federal CARES Act, passed by Congress, imposes tight constraints on how state and local governments can spend the money. The state must enforce the restrictions to ensure that the money is used properly to cover eligible expenses incurred between March 1st and December 30th. Neither the state nor localities can use the money to replace tax revenues lost because of the economic shutdown in response to the public health crisis. Governor Northam rejected a call on Tuesday from several top GOP lawmakers to institute a moratorium on the release of certain inmates by the Virginia Parole Board. Both the House and Senate minority leaders made the request. It came a day after state officials disclosed that Virginia's government watchdog is conducting an administrative investigation into the parole board's decision to grant parole to a man who has served decades of a life sentence for the killing of an on-duty Richmond police officer. The parole board, a five-member panel of gubernatorial appointees, has accelerated its work because of the pandemic. It is one of several efforts by the Northam administration to reduce the population of the state's jails and prisons where compatible with public safety. Correctional facilities, like other institutions such as nursing homes, are vulnerable to the spread of the virus. Meanwhile, the ACLU of Virginia and a Charlottesville lawyer have settled a lawsuit with state officials over the safety of some inmates during the COVID-19 pandemic. In the settlement, the Virginia Department of Corrections agrees to more quickly review the early release of some prisoners who are eligible and who are vulnerable to the spread of the virus in prison. Several jails and prisons around the state have seen outbreaks of the virus. COVID-19 continues to infect people in Black and Latino communities at disproportionate rates. Some critics say Governor Northam's plan to begin relaxing restrictions on Friday is moving too fast and putting communities of color at risk. Virginia Public Radio's Kat Modlin Jackson reports.
Without proper workplace safeguards and adequate testing, many will be forced to choose between their safety and a paycheck. That's according to Tram Nguyen at New Virginia Majority.
They are literally putting their lives on the line to go back to work.
Nguyen says she's hearing a lot about the demands of business owners and customers who miss getting manicures.
That highlights to me this class divide.
A divide that's worsened, she says, when race and ethnicity are taken into consideration. Black and Latinx people are more likely to work low-wage jobs, according to data from Oxfam America. Often that means close contact with customers who may or may not take precautions like wearing a mask. Moreover, Nguyen says there are linguistic and cultural barriers preventing communities from getting potentially life-saving information or treatment. Dr. Michael Williams is director of UVA's Center for Health Policy. He acknowledges that Northam is under pressure to reopen, but Williams says the state isn't ready yet.
To be able to do it safely, I think additional things need to be in place that are not necessarily in place for all members of our society.
One of his primary concerns is housing. Communities of color are historically more likely to be forced into overcrowded quarters, says Williams, which makes it impossible to quarantine if a member of the household contracts the virus. For now, Williams says the quickest course of action is to increase testing capability. I'm Kat Maudlin Jackson.
Some Virginia substance abuse and recovery programs are seeing a growing need for their services, but they're also dealing with diminishing funds because of the pandemic. John Schinholzer is president and CEO of the nonprofit McShin Foundation.
So we just lost 30% of our capacity to raise money through events.
McShin provides temporary housing and recovery programs, and its sober housing is at capacity. Schinholzer says income from fundraising and donations is down about $60,000 per month. He's concerned that increased needs will not be met if the funds are not there. Well, during the pandemic, we've been watching for certain symptoms individually. You know, are we getting sick, like a fever or cough, for example? But for anyone touched by this crisis, there may also be psychological symptoms. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports on so-called stress injuries and how we can address them.
When he was in the Navy, UVA nursing professor Richard Westfall began studying the problem we now call stress injury. Changes in behavior and attitude caused by trauma or threat to life, loss or grief, moral dilemmas, and fatigue.
Having an extended period of exhaustion and demands on our coping without adequate resources over time. Prior to the COVID experience, we were already seeing high levels of occupational stress, of stress injuries, of burnout, of moral ethical dilemmas. And so we went into the COVID experience already having a occupational stress burden.
These stress injuries are most often seen during wars or in first responders and emergency medical personnel, but they can occur in anyone facing a crisis that disrupts our routines.
How many of us use the patterns of our daily lives as a way to move through life and reassurance that things are going to be okay, and those patterns have been lost? Who am I now that I can't do what I've trained and spent my life doing? Who am I now that I'm in this other role of a full-time caregiver and homeschooler?
In response, we may withdraw from relationships.
If we start to pull back from maybe a role as a parent or at work or as friends and colleagues. Social support is incredibly protective. And that is where the irony of a stress injury comes in that one of the early signs of a stress injury is people start to pull away from their social supports.
Outgoing people may become withdrawn, quiet people more gregarious or easily irked.
Often people have irritability. Their tolerance for things that used to be minor frustrations become much more significant.
And equally troubling, the victim of stress injury doesn't necessarily know that something's wrong.
One of the first things we lose with a stress injury is the ability to recognize how stressed we are.
Ideally, Westfall says, friends or loved ones should express concern if they see worrisome changes and suggest constructive ways to cope. First, find ways to feel safer.
Much of what we're seeing right now around the COVID experience of using masks, of physical distancing, are issues around safety.
Then reach out to friends, family, and colleagues. Talk about what's going on. Learn new coping skills that bring your blood pressure down, meditation, exercise, or keeping a journal.
When people become agitated or experience an intense stress injury, the ability to physically give their body a break from the stress becomes very important.
Find ways to solve problems and cultivate a positive attitude toward the future.
And this confidence in the future isn't a Pollyanna, everything's going to work out. It's that ultimately, as a family, as a team, we're going to get through this.
Westfall says people may not be able to do these things on their own, but he wants the public to know there are mental health resources available in the community and online. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Finally today, local vineyards say that cold temperatures since last weekend have damaged their crops. The Daily Progress reports that some winemakers, including Cunningham Creek Winery in Fluvanna County, say they lost nearly all their grapes in a series of frosts beginning Mother's Day weekend. A warmer winter than usual caused grapevines to bud early, and then the grapes began growing, and then the sudden cold killed off some fruit before it could mature. Most of our area was again under a frost advisory this morning, but overnight lows will be in the 40s tonight and only dropping into the 50s Thursday night. And my little baby red buds will be happy about that. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.